something like this. There is a major dispute between the Maharam Gutenberg and the Rosh and the end of Masechet Maikotim. They're seeking Mezuzah Tavares, and by parallel, they have a Machloket Shabbat HaTavares, which the Maharam wants to pass the based on Moshe from Mezuzah Shabbat, and the Rosh disputed his Moshe. But the Halacha says as follows. If a boy becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, even though he didn't have to observe the beginning of Shabbos in Atzeira, he only had to keep Shabbos to the Rabban Yitam Chino. So in Atzeira, he didn't have to observe the beginning of Shabbos, but the second half of Shabbos in the moment, from that moment on, that he became bar mitzvah, he's obligated to keep the end of Shabbos. Mechal Shabbos in the second half, in his Chayit Nisa, Chayit Kodes, whatever happens to be. What do you have a heck of Timsa that the person becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos? You mentioned last week. One possible way is that following that opinion and he's shown in which he's quoted that the boy becomes by mitzvah through the minutes. If he was born at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he becomes by mitzvah 13 years later on the same day that the Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zion Or at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, let's say. He becomes by mitzvah on Zion Or at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 13 years later. Could say like that, so about it, he will become a mitzvah in the middle of the day. The one who was born in the middle of the day will become a mitzvah in the middle of the day. Gemara has another case. Gemara doesn't say explicitly that case. Gemara gives a different case. The first and only becomes on this after having Yimel Shana V'yeh Nechor, he's 13 years old, plus the Ashtay Tyrus growing on his body on the Yevah HaErva, the Yevah HaLeva. So what happens if he's 13, he's 14, he's 15, he still doesn't Ashtay Tyrus, 16, 17, he still does not. So once he reaches the age of 35, we make him honorary by this. That's ready to heal the Rosh Naisot. The Gemara says the Assumi Nation and Saint of Ahem Shidu Shana. A person only lives, the average age is 70. He's not keeps on getting longer and longer. The person says, Nation and Saint of Ahem Shidu Shana. A person on average life is 70 years. And if a person lives to the age of 35, that's called Higiyah Lerosh Nais Lopidim. And it's considered a Bar Mitzvah already, even though he didn't have Shtei Tzairis. What happens is he reaches the age of 20, and he doesn't have Shtei Tzairis, but we can notice on him that he has to be known as Torah. A Torah is not the same thing as an Ochor. Ochor, Bakorah, means a man or woman who are unable to have children, to give birth to children, because of a hormone imbalance. So the daughter of a doctor will be able to escape that as problem, possibly. That's an Ochor, Bakorah. It's a different thing. Ochor, Bakorah, become by mitzvah the same as everybody else. A Torah or an islander is a completely different thing. But the whole body doesn't grow normally. So the Gemara has a special thing. A Torah, or an islander, once you can notice on them, Simoni Soros and Simoni Islanders, they become bar mitzvah, they don't have Shtei Tzairis either, they become bar mitzvah at the age of 20. One opinion is Simoni, the age of 18, Mitzvah Shidus Simoni. But what happens is you have a normal person, Mishkan Soros, Mishkan Islanders, and you're not waiting until Rosh Noitav. But the person didn't have Shtei Tzairis at the age of bar mitzvah, at the age of 13. So how do we give an aliyah to a boy at the age of 13? The rabbi doesn't go to check? Nobody went to check. So the Gemara says, there's a chazok. The Gemara says, Rava says, in Masechet Nidin, you assume that a boy who reached the age of 13, a girl who reached the age of 12, you have to go look to see if they have Shtei Tzairis. They assume that a row of chazok means a row of children that age have Shtei Tzairis. You follow the Chandra road. With respect to having that child, let's say, write an oath and say, to say that, you wouldn't follow the Chandra chazok. You wouldn't be more, because that's what he has in their eyes. With respect to having that shell sign on again, if there was one of the Kiddushin, he wouldn't rely on the Chazor. You wouldn't kill him, you would check the CV, I suppose. You go into the rope with a different thing. The Gemara says it's an edge, and you follow rope to establish. Theoretically, if the child would have gotten married on the day of his bar mitzvah, and he would have made his wife pregnant on that day, how long would it take her for the uber to be nicker? How long would it take? So the Gemara says, well, most babies are born after 9 months, a 9 month pregnancy. The Gemara says sometimes the baby only has a 7 month pregnancy, and if it's a 9 month pregnancy, then the baby would be nicker after 3 months, but it would have been a 7 month pregnancy, would be nicker after. So in the third month, the Gemara suggests the possibility. The Gemara says, nonetheless, the child can be a Betzor Mara up until the age of 13 or 3 months, because you go about the law, we're not establishing whom he's going to marry. Maybe he'll never get married. Maybe he'll never have any children. I mean, since rogue children are a 9-month pregnancy, so the Uber, if there would have been an Uber, it would have been Ikka Vishnisha, right? So we learn out from a passage that the Shah, the Kana Ben Tomor, is only when he's a Bain and not when he's an Ab and not when he's right to be an Ab. If he's right to be an Ab, means if he could have gotten married on David's Bar Mitzvah, he would have made his wife pregnant, and the pregnancy would have been Ikka after 3 months, even though the baby wasn't born yet, he would have already been called an Ab. I'll shame Sofa, because his wife would have been obviously pregnant. So that's the thing more says you go bust the road. But it's not that you go bust the road to establish what the facts of the case are. We go bust the road to because they wasn't in a period. To because they are that the child can only get into a mother to the age of 13 and 3 months. That's the thing more than has been a person. So this is a special case of it. But to establish what the facts are, then you wouldn't go bust the road. If you want to give me, so you have to check to see if you really actually start or not. Have to be buddy. So let's say the third is any condition anyway, you wouldn't allow the child to say there's any condition. Unless he checks to see the actual effect. But the boy should have a phenomenon, you should bring the sarah into bench with Zuman. Or to give him an aliyah, to allow him to learn, because I said these are all dealing with the Rabbanon, so with respect to all these dealing with the Rabbanon. The Gemara says, for sure you can rely on the Chazak of the Rabbah, but he suddenly has to say, what if you know the Vada that he doesn't have to say that? It is boy or the girl, they say themselves, they don't have to say that. But then they won't become Bar Mitzvah Bat Mitzvah, even though they already had 12 years, even though they already small at 13. It's still a greenish Shteytar. So what happens if the Shteytar is grown in the middle of Shabbos? That's the case of the Morah. What happens if the Shteytar is grown in the middle of Shabbos? So there were Shteytar, but they were too short. The Morah has a minimum length that the Shteytar, minimum Shteytar that the Shteytar had to be. So what happens if the Shabbos had Shteytar before Shabbos, because they weren't long enough, and on Shabbos the Shteytar is up all of it? The Morah says the Shabbos comes on this, in the middle of Shabbos. So that's the Gemara and Yvonne, that's Aslam Adal, but the Gemara says that that person who became Bar Mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos has to observe the end of Shabbos. So the Rosh claimed that the reason why he has to keep the end of Shabbos, when I said at the beginning of Shabbos he only had to keep the Rabbanon Yitam Shina, because he wasn't Bar Mitzvah. The end of Shabbos, he's obligated to observe Menater. So the Rosh says, why? Poshut Zokta. Because every moment of Shabbos has a Dushas Hayayim. And since now he's the Bar Mitzvah, so the Dushas Hayayim at 4 o'clock and 4:05 and 4:10 and 4:15 is Machayim, and you have to observe Shabbos. So the Maharam Wittenberg, which is, although the Rosh makes more sense, but the Maharam Wittenberg sheet seems to be the one that's accepted in the Shulchan Aruch. Maharam Wittenberg says that that's not the Shabbos. The Tchilas Hayayim of Shabbos is Machayim and observing Shabbos. And it's Machayim you up until Sof Hayayim of Shabbos. When it comes to Sof Hayayim, that's a matter of the Malach. The end of Shabbos is not for you to do Malach. So the Tchilas Hayayim of Shabbos, the child will not Bar Mitzvah. The boy, the girl will not Bar Mitzvah, Bat Mitzvah. Nonetheless, the Gemara is Machayim, that's what the Maharam Wittenberg points out on that Gemara. The Gemara says that even though the Tchilas Hayayim, when it was Shia, or Ben Hashmash, it was Seita Kachama at the beginning of Shabbos, the Friday night. This person was a Kachma, he wasn't a Bar Mitzvah. But still, a person was in existence, he was here in New York at that time. So the Tchilas Hayayim was Machayim, that person to observe Shabbos, Ba'ad Lach Azman. Likish and Yizgadel, the Tchilas Hayayim of Shabbos is Machayim, so that when his child becomes Bar Mitzvah, he'll be Machayim to observe Shabbos. What would be the din of Moshe and Yitzchak? It's funny that they have shuvahs about this before the war. A person, let's say, observes Shabbos in New York, and let's say Shabbos, he says Habdol, and Shabbos is over. Then he takes a jet Concord, let's say, to California, and he's a little Shabbos. Does he have to observe that part of Shabbos? Because he would have asked me, I would have said certainly yes. That he flew in the middle of Shabbos, and every minute of Shabbos has a Dushas Hayayim. It's Machayim, but he should observe Shabbos. That's according to the Rosh Hashanah. So the Pesukim say no. The Pesukim say no. That the Machayim of observing Shabbos is a Tchilas Hayayim. Where the international date was.
Yeah,
according to the Chazanish, Japan is on the same line as the Dateline. Japan is on the same line as the Dateline as California. I mean, if you assume not like the Chazanish, you assume like others, but the Dateline is somewhere in between Japan and California. Mas ele está dizendo que houve, ele está dizendo que houve uma resposta que tem. Not like a husband. Okay. Well, really, I don't think he's involved. Floyd is not involved with this. I don't think so.
Yeah, probably. I'm
not going to get Floyd involved in the show.
For
marriage,
the structure is aligned, and anything
that relates to the climate. What do you say? What happens if one, let's assume that the Dagon is to the east of Japan. So what happens if one? Yeah, no.
Japan is part of the
3 hours to the shuttle. Okay. So the first can be before the war starts. So the first can say, some folks can say, others disagree. But the first in the Gerer Rebbe from before the Second World War, he says that you don't have to observe that part of Shabbos. If I wasn't there, but people say, I wasn't there at the beginning of Shabbos. If I was here in New York at the beginning of Shabbos on Friday night and I wasn't promised the, and then it becomes promised in the middle of the day, that's the same issue. You know, so we're talking about the child becomes promised in the middle of Shabbos. He's obligated in Antara to observe the end of Shabbat. Beginning of Shabbat, he has to observe the Torah. From the end of Shabbat, he has to observe the Antara. But if I wasn't even there at the beginning of Shabbat, so there was no Machayev, it's not that every minute of Shabbat has a Kedusha. Every minute of Shabbat has a Kedusha Sayyam. But it's not that every minute of the Kedusha Sayyam is Machayev to observe Malacha. The Machayev is the skin of Sayyam Hashem. I wasn't even there at the beginning of Shabbat, they can't say that the Machayev affected it. I'm not doing it in the middle of that.
What's it? Because I'm here to be awesome, like this.
But the custom was there. The only thing is that it wasn't about to use it. So the Tchino Sayyid was Machayev and on the head of Rach as well.
Okay.
They're very close to each other.
So
it's what's the logic behind that? That's the Shabbat. The logic is that you don't like the Rosh. You don't like the Rosh. Every minute of Shabbat is Mechagim to observe Yitzhak Malacha. But family is to the Gerer Rebbe, no, not like the Rosh. It's assumed that Shulchan Aruch not like the Rosh. We assume that the Tchilas Hayayim of Shabbat is always to be Malacha. If you weren't even here in California, the Tchilas Hayayim, it doesn't matter. I already have my Tchilas Hayayim and my Sef Hayayim with Matanin and finished. But there is no, as far as I'm concerned, there is no Tchilas Hayayim.
From our side,
it would be a very good idea. Okay, so they got one. Yeah. But strictly speaking, there's no dinner shop. Because when you go to bedtime, so what do you fall into the middle of Shabbos, or you come to the beginning of Friday evening? If you come to the beginning, if you fly to the beginning of Friday evening, then you have a Tchilas Hayayim, like we might do a second part. Yes. But if you come in the middle, then it's right. Right. You have to have the Machayev and Tchilas Hayayim.
What
if he's not
Shabbos,
he eats
early in the morning?
Yeah. So,
Shabbos is only once in 7 days.
Yeah, it's possible
if you are called Shabbos,
and then he's going to have twice Shabbos, he can have twice Shabbos. Is it possible? If you can, if you start from one place to the other, right?
You have a spaceship, you can go to the
other. Okay. Spaceship, you observe whatever the sun is on the ground. So the ground, it doesn't become sharp in more than 1 week.
Well, would that person have a thing like that, he's like lost? Should the person get lost? He doesn't know what they're
doing. He's not lost.
But he's not lost. But I wonder if he...
Well, the thing that occurred to you, who blew us, and he doesn't understand. They count 7 days, and it's 7 days.
Well, the law has to say that we want to count 7 days. And therefore, the rule is that one of the 7 days has to be Shabbos.
But he's not working off on Shabbos, but he avoids it. Or he likes to have Shabbos twice a week.
Assuming
that you can either break the rules or avoid the bad thing. Okay?
That'll be
alright. Okay.
What is it?
Well, what is that? I said, come on, then that's the Rosh Hashanah. So that's the source of this whole thing. How does we know to assume that the Maharam Rishmer is right? Doesn't the Rosh make more sense? That every minute of Shabbat has to do Shabbat Yahim. And then the Kedusha Tayyim of that minute is Machayim and the Isma Lachas. So the source of the whole story is this Sukhya Gav Gimel that the Gemara has a whole circle. In four different cases, we just gave the introduction as we've been four different cases. My discuss is whether when you have 2 days that have Kedusha Tayyim one next to the other, do you assume that there's one more Kedusha Acha? Yom HaRichter, when you call Yom HaRichter, do you say, no, I'm going to stay Kedusha. What kind of a Lashon is that Yom HaRichter? The Gemara never has that expression, that's what Rashi says. The Gemara has the Lashon that is Kedusha Acha, one long Kedusha that extends to 24 hours. If you have 2 days, Yom to the Nidah Friday or Sunday. Okay, you have 2 days younger than one next to the other, 2 days Rosh Hashanah, 2 days any younger. Did he say that the Kedusha begins at the beginning of the first day and extends for 48 hours? Did he say no? There's a Kedusha that goes for 24 hours, and another Kedusha that goes begins at the beginning of the second day and extends for 24 hours. So what is the issue involved over here? So the Rambam and the Rashba say, the Gemara doesn't really say specifically this way. The Rambam and the Rashba say, what happens if you have kippur before that on Friday, or on Sunday, on our calendar it's impossible, never happens. As much as the Nevi Tachon reads the calendar to see to it that your kippur would never fall out on a Friday or a Sunday, because you wouldn't be able to bury the Mason. As much as you don't allow a Purus HaMei, it's not on your kippur, not on Shabbos, even on your Dei. And on the Rishon you allow on Dei Goyim, on Yom Hashem you allow on Dei Yisroel. But on Shabbos and Yom Kippur you don't allow at all. You're going to have 2 days in a row, you're going to have 2 days in a row. They send bury a mason, they die because of the mason, they arrange the calendar in such a way that your kippah should never fall out, neither on Friday nor on Sunday. Let's take it away. But let's think about Rosh Hashanah in the first place. But neither at the end, this man HaMishnah, the Mishnah in the end of Shabbat talks about such a possibility, that your kippah falling out on Friday or Sunday. Before they instituted the calendar as we have it today, it was that. In the days of Abai Barovah, they fixed the calendar, the Kiddush HaKadosh HaPiyah HaFezim that we have in calendar. Up until the days of our Bible, we used to be in Kaddish or Shkadish, we would declare Shkadish based on the HaPiyah HaLiyah. Yes, yes. So there was a whole different system. So at that time, when the Yom Kippur could fall out on Friday or Sunday, so the Rambam writes, if that happens, if Yom Kippur falls out right next to Shabbos, so then anybody agrees that it's Yom HaLiyah. There's no Machloekis. All the Machloekis in the Gemara only go if you have Yom Kippur. If any Yom Kippur falls down on Friday or Sunday, but if it's Yom Kippur, and Kippur doesn't have the Hesed on that fish, has the exact same dinim as Shabbos, it's a little different. You don't make Kiddush, you don't need Shabbos either. And as far as the Malachas are concerned, then Kippur is exactly identical with Shabbos. The punishment is different. The punishment is different. But as far as the Yisra Malachas, they're the same. They're exactly the same. So the Rambam and the Rashba say, and the Iri say, they all say that this is the din. There's no Malachas in Islam, this is what they assume. The bed is certainly Yom HaRichter. Everybody would agree that it's Kedusha Achas. What kind of a Roshan is it Yom HaRichter? It's not Roshan Yom HaRichter. Why don't you say Kedusha Achas like the Gemara says? Kedusha extends for 48 hours. Why do you say Roshan Yom HaRichter? So after that you can explain what is the demarcation line between one day and the other. And you want to say that today's Tuesday night. So Tuesday ended and I'll see this already Wednesday. Allah says, so what's the demarcation line on the Ruach? It's Ben Hashmash, it's going to come Shkia. If it's a home, that period over there, that's the demarcation line. So when you say that you have a Yom HaRichter, what you need to say is that there was no Ben Hashmash. What do you mean there was no Ben Hashmash? There's always a Ben Hashmash. In between every 2 days, there's a Ben Hashmash. It means Balfidin, there was no Ben Hashmash. Why is Balfidin not? Because the Oyster B'Malacha is the Ben Hashmash. The Tzivas HaYom is the Oyster B'Malacha. Like the Maharam Rukmer says, if you hold it, it's Yusha Akas. What you need to say is when you have Yom Kippur next to Shabbos, the Ben Hashmash is the first of the two, whichever one came first doesn't matter. If Yom Kippur falls out on Friday or on Sunday, it doesn't matter. The Ben Hashmash is the first of the 2 days is the Oster, and at last, that Oster asks the Malacha till the end of the second day. Not that it's an oasis till the end of the first day, then you have a lot there, then the day that's motion for the second day is an oasis for the second day, and the sofa yom of the second day is a matzah for the second day. No, that's what it means to do shach. It means that the tzivos hayom of the first day, half is for the first day. So that's why that's by Rashi and Rishon Kovan, yom ha'alichta, what do you mean yom ha'alichta? As if there were no gein hashmosh to distinguish between the first day and the second day. Al-Pidin, there was no gein hashmosh, and the tzivos there was. So Al-Pidin, there was no gein hashmosh, that served as an oasis. The oasis was the first day in hashmosh.
And
one dollar
that's it, and
it doesn't
have to
absorb
the whole thing.
No, there is no one dollar. No, everybody agrees to that. That's the Gemara Yivamid that's $1. Before it becomes a mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, that's how everything begins. In most of the prayers, a boy or a girl becomes a mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, only had to observe the beginning of the day because our brother becomes here. And the end of the day, after they became a mitzvah, from that moment on, they have to observe the end of the day to that third. We just had two explanations why it in itself. The Rosh says because every minute of Shabbos has a Kedusha Sayyarim that happens in Malacha, and the Maharam Mitzvah has this fantastic chance that the Kedusha Sayyarim is the Yoyster on behalf of Malacha's Mitzvah. But the Din, they all agree to. Same thing. Exact same thing. They're interchangeable, right? But how do you call it? Yoyim Alichta. The Russian is telling you. The Gemara calls it Kedusha Akha. How is Russian? We only use it because we never have Yom Kippur next to Shabbos, but the Rambam says it's not Yom Kippur next to Shabbos. That's the first. There are four cases where the Gemara and the Rishonim discuss 2 days that have Kedusha Sayyarim, one next to the other, whether they are Yom or not. So the first case that's described is Yom Kippur next to Shabbos. So that, the Rambam and the Rosh, well, the Miri said there never was a Machlokes, because everybody agrees that since the Yizurim and Malach are identical, but everybody would agree that it's Yom HaRitzvah. Chinuch Hayom was the first day. Atzis for both days. It doesn't make sense to say that Chinuch Hayom Atzis and the Tzarech Hayom is Matzah, and the next step is Chinuch Hayom Atzis the next day. Exactly the same as it was for the first day. We'll get to the practical difference. We'll get to a lot of practical difference. Okay? No. You're going to make Kiddush anyway.
No.
That's going to be the same. No, there'll be other nothing in it. We'll have to get it. Then you have on the level of the right, you have another case where there's a Machlekes in the Gemara, Machlekes Tanoi. What if you have on the level of the right, you have Yontif next to Shabbat. Yontif falls out even on Friday or on Sunday. Because you say that it's Dusha Akas on that. So then you pass the other state of Dusha, so it's not the same. It's not the same because on Yontif you have a Heterot on that fish. The other opinion in the Gemara holds on that even on Yontif you have a Heterot on that fish, but the Dusha is the same as Shabbat. Right, the Kedusha Sayyarim of Yontif is also called Shabbat. Yontif is also called Shabbat. The Kedusha is the same. But because it's Yontif, you have an additional Heter. On Shabbat, you only have a Heter of Abdikwak Nefesh is not, and you have a Heter of Hakrobis Kotonis you're permitted to do. And a couple of other Heter, and on Yom Kippur, and on Yontif, in addition to whatever Heter you have on Shabbat, you have another Heter of Heter Nefesh. But in principle, in theory, in abstract, the level of Kedusha Sayyarim should be the same. That's what the other opinion of. But we don't talk like that. We talk about Shabbat next to Yom Tov. It's Shnei Kedushim. I don't say that it's one more Kedushim. Would there be any Havdolah? No, there shouldn't be Havdolah. The only time you say Havdolah is when you go down. Yeah, I think everybody should agree this more often. Everybody should agree this more
often. Let's say Yom Kippur is Friday.
Yeah.
Happy Yom Kippur. Or Shabbat is Friday. Happy Shabbat. Shabbat is Friday. I mean, Shabbat is Friday. Shabbat doesn't make a sort of coming to the evening of faith. That is not. Yeah. You want to make a sort of.
I don't think so. You don't say Havdolah. You don't say Havdolah when you go from a Yom Kodesh to a lower level of Kodesh. You go, let's say, from Shabbos to Yom Kippur. When you go from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, you don't say Havdolah. So you're going up. Shabbos Yom Kippur. Yeah. I don't know. But the level of Kodesh will be the Rambam is going to be the level of Kedusha says, so B'chor Yishti, not say Abdullah? Anyone should agree, you shouldn't say Abdullah. Have to look in the Mishnah Shabbat. The Mishnah Shabbat talks about the key of Shefer that we used to have to be in the Kabbal Shabbat early. to look in the studio. They want Shabbat talks about Yom Kippur next to Shabbat. Is there any protest in Shabbat after that? Well, Shabbat after that is the Lushus Hayom are both the same. How do you demonstrate that you're being Moses? Have exactly the same meaning of Malach. So on a level of the right, there are two cases that we discuss when it's Shabbat and Ad. One is where Yom Kippur falls out next to Shabbat, and one is when Yom Kippur falls out next to Shabbat. When Yom Kippur next to Shabbat, the Rambam says it never was a Machlokes, everybody agrees that it is Shabbat. When Yom Kippur falls out next to Shabbat, it is a Machlokes, and we talk in the Gemara and Halacha Ka'abor became, we talk like the four older Tanoim that are state dishes. On a level of the Arbor, there are two additional Shilas of two Shabbat versus state dishes. The one is the 2 days Rosh Hashanah, exactly Shabbat or Shteik Lushes, and the other one is the other Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. Why do we separate between Rosh Hashanah and the others? Because there are slight differences in halakha. That on every other Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath, that there is second day Pesach or Simchat Torah or second day Shavuot, whatever, so you have certain kulas that you don't have on the first day Yom Tov. Namely, the Moshe Gemara says that all the kulas are the on the second day, Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, you don't have those Haterim. However, you have a Heter that Kfuras HaMetzis Mut on the second day, Rosh Hashanah. So on the one hand, second day, Rosh Hashanah, has a Heter. So maybe you should say that it's also Shteik Dushan. So that's the Machlokes in the Gemara. The 2 days, Rosh Hashanah, is a Machlokes Chas HaChaim. In addition, an Eretz and Daf Lamed Tes. That's what our Gemara calls. The deal is that if a person wants to go Chutzul Kum, he's good. He wants to permit to go up until Kum Shabbos. One meal is our time on. What if you happen to go to hear a drasha, you might have to go to the Bar Mitzvah. There's a Sheret office, there's a Bar Mitzvah, or there's a Chocham is giving a Shir, or a drasha or something, so you want to make an Erev. So we allow you to make an Erev at Kum. You put a Bakhtamatis between your place and that place, and it's a Bakhtamatis that comes to you. And then you go a little further. Go to the place that they're doing the Bar Mitzvah. You cannot make an Erev Chumen that the Friday night is the rabbi giving a drasha here, the Shabbat morning is the rabbi giving a drasha there. Or there's a big minyan, there's a big davening over there on Friday night, and there's a big minyan over here. Why don't you go to both of them? The Mishnah says in Erev, you can't do that. You can't make one Erev Chumen to one part of Shabbat and another Erev Chumen to another part of Shabbat. Whatever your Makkum is at the beginning of Shabbat, you can't have to remain your Makkum throughout the entire Shabbat. So what happens, the Mishnah says, regarding 2 days Rosh Hashanah? Can you make one Erev Kumis for the first day of Rosh Hashanah in one direction, and the second Erev Kumis for the second day of Rosh Hashanah in a different direction? Or do you say no, that the 2 days Rosh Hashanah constitute Yom Arich to Kedusha Achah? Whenever your Makom was, wherever you were Kedusha Achah, for the first day, so you stop throughout the whole set. But that's the Makomis of Yehuda, the Tanoim. Makomis of Yehuda, the Chachamim, and the Mishnah, and the Erev. That or the Mishnah quotes another Nafkimin Aladina. Rashi quotes the beginning of the Mishnah. The Gemara itself doesn't quote the beginning. Rashi quotes the beginning. Then the Gemara quotes the end of the Mishnah. What happens if you have a Beit Hashem over the Yom Tov or a Beit Hashem over the Shabbos and you're not allowed to eat it that day? But as soon as that day is up, you're permitted to eat it. So what if you have the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, one next to the other, Beit could annul on the first day? If you say that if you have my wish to do Shabbos, that you're not allowed to eat the Beit on the second day, even though I wasn't born on the second day. So the second day didn't have shit in the first day. If you say there's snake dishes, 2 days Rosh Hashanah constitutes snake dishes, but the first day was up, the base was called on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the first day is up, so you permitted to eat it on the second day. Or the Marshal, the Mishnah that the Gemara does for, it's forbidden to be makrish to the Semites on Shabbos or Yom Tov. We don't live in Eretz Yisrael, so it's not that relevant for us, but it's the Shehach Rosh Hashanah. Let's say I buy cake or cookies or bread from a bakery where I know that everything is kosher, but I know that they're not always careful about how fresh it's called. So the mitzvah of fresh it's called doesn't only apply to the baker. If I know that everything is kosher just that maybe it was resolved and how fresh it's called, I should be mafish shalom. When I bring him home, I should be mafish shalom. So you're not permitted to be mafish shalom on Shabbos again. So what do you do? So if it's an Eretz Yisrael, you're not permitted to be mafish shalom, then you're not permitted to eat the food. You can't eat the cake and cookies at a house until you mafish the house. If it's good for us, the Gemara base that has later, Rakul and Dafes, if you're Eichel Baharil, you can eat all you want, as long as you leave a little bit over at the end. And let's say, if I bought cookies and challah, I can't eat a bowl of cookies and leave a slice of challah. You have to leave a little bit from the cookie, a little bit from the challah, a little bit from this batch of dough. They said they had a ton of dough, and I bought cookies that came from that ton of dough. And I had a ton of dough from which they made challah, the set of ton of dough, that to leave over, let's say I put 100 talents. I don't have to leave over a little bit from each and every individual talent. If all the talents came in the same batch of dough, the same meat store, so I can leave over one little bit of the talent, and the mafish, if the shabbat is over, at the end of the dough, the mafish challah from what I left over, the mafish a little bit from that. Not that I should declare everything is challah, but you have to have shalem and equator. When you mafish the challah, you have to say, this should be challah, and not that, something that's left over the honor. So the chutzlah is because the requirements of HaKosh of Chal is only the Rabbanon, so you have a kula that you don't have a health, you can eat as much as you want, as long as you leave a little bit over, and you mock the Chal on the cake of the cookies in the Chal if the Shabbos is over. So what happens, the Mishnah has a case, what happens when you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah one next to the other, and he lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he's not permitted to eat anything before his mock the Chal. So on the first day Yom Tov, he's not allowed to be mock the Chal. The second day Yom Tov, he's not allowed to be mock the Chal. So he's stuck. So maybe he should be mamish chal or mimanashah. He should say like this. On the first day, let him set aside a little bit. He said, if today is Rosh Hashanah, he says Mechum and Rosh Hashanah is only one day. We don't have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So what do we do when we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah? So Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that it's take dushes. It's not Yom HaYisrael. The Tachmanim and the Rabbanim that you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah is the better stake of the Yom. Either the first day is Rosh Hashanah or the second day is Rosh Hashanah. It's not in the Rabbanim you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So you just said on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you mafish a little chal, let's put a little bit aside. And you say, Al Hatanah. You say, if today is Rosh Hashanah, I'm not doing anything. But I'm about to declare, is nothing. It's no one's work. If today is not Rosh Hashanah, then I'm doing mafish chal. But today he's not permitted to eat the chal, he's not permitted to eat the cookies or the bread that's left over. Because it's a suffix, maybe today is Rosh Hashanah, or the Hakrosh is chal or the chal. But then tomorrow, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, he says the same business. Because if yesterday was Rosh Hashanah, he said today is Tzom Gedalia, today is Matzori Rosh Hashanah, so I'm being Mafish Chalav today, it's a little different. I designated yesterday as a Chalav. If it wasn't a Chalav yesterday, I declare today is Chalav. And if yesterday was not Rosh Hashanah, if today is Rosh Hashanah, then yesterday was Chalav already. So when it comes to the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Tzom Yimona Shef, this Chalav has already been Mufrosh, you see Hashem and the Chalav as Chalav, he's permitted to equal to it. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who said, Masna, the Malach called Kolos or Peiris. He more quotes the six months in the bottom of that Himalayan Rabbah. And he more quotes the Mishnah from Erevin. The Machlokes of Yehuda HaChamim has whether the 2 days Rosh Hashanah constitute Kedusha Achas, that's what he talks about, that the Chamim is a Rabbi Yehuda. Or Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that Hishtay Kedusha has relevance for quite a few Machlokes. Once the original Machlokes is to make a separate Erevin Kumen for the first day of Rosh Hashanah and the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And then Rabbi Yehuda has also, when the Baal Shem Tov davens for an omen, when anybody davens for an omen of Rosh Hashanah, that he says you should say the Nusach of the davening, how do you say it? The Tikkun Hashem Okeinu, as Yom HaZikaron HaZeh, Im HaYoyim Hu Rosh Hashanah, Im HaYoyim L'Macha. And then the second day of Rosh Hashanah, you say the Tikkun Hashem Okeinu, Im HaKaron HaZeh, Im Etmol Im HaYom. Whatever it was, whether it was yesterday or today. And the Chacham say, what do you mean, what is yesterday today? Yesterday was Rosh Hashanah, today is Rosh Hashanah. The Yema Rishka. Both days are Bavli Rosh Hashanah. It's not that he did today or yesterday, it's the sake of the Yema. That with the Rabbanah, you're not sure with the Rabbanah, that both the Torah is Bavli and Rosh Hashanah. And I tell you, only one day is Rosh Hashanah. And with the Rabbanah, they declare that both days are Rosh Hashanah.
And
yeah. So the next law, they don't have to deserve any Yom Shishen Yishol Goli. So the Shaila is, why should Rosh Hashanah be different? Yeah, this Mishnah goes before the days of Abai Barab. Before the days of Abai Barab, they often had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Because they really had a stake of the anger. They really didn't know when Rosh Hashanah was. They didn't know when the Eden came. The people who lived in Yerushalayim were the base. When the Beis Magdol was, that they would know whether today was Rosh Hashanah, today was not Rosh Hashanah. Or when the Beis Magdol went to the Golgot, they traveled around there and still said, whoever was in the Beis Magdol would know which day was really Rosh Hashanah. Anybody who lived a mile or two away would have already not known, so they really had a stake of the air. It never was a real stake of their right. That's what it still points out in the commentary on Homesh. And never was a real stake of their right which day is Rosh Hashanah, Zohar Raya, that they never observed 2 days Yom Kippur. If it was really, if the Manchi Kitchra Piyariya, it was really a stake of the Yom, a stake of the right of the Chumrah, and you had observed 2 days Pesach, 2 days Shavuot, 2 days Sukkot, 2 days everything, so they should have passed the 2 days Yom Kippur. And whoever would be a Chodesh Eid Mitzakon, we would allow him to start eating in the middle of the second day. Whoever the doctors would say can't fast the 48-hour trade, so we would be naked, but they can eat, they have no bread. But in the fact that the Gemara says that they would only have tea in the Anshim Meisah, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, and the Yerushalmi says that only unusual people would fare 2 days in Kippur. And the Shulchan Aruch, they have also like that, but throughout all generations, there were people who would observe 2 days in Kippur. As a Chumash, as a Midas Kassim. So Mika, right, it's not required. So you see that it's not a real state of the Yerim. Even when they had, when it used to be the Kaddish of Tachadish of Priya Riyah, and no one ever knew when the Yerim were going to come. So it was never a real state of the Yerim. How come not? So the Nesit says, because we know that 99 out of 100 times, it's not 100 out of 100 times, the Elul always has 29 days. Elul never has 30 days. Mark says that once in the history of the world, in the days of Ezra, and the book of Ezra says that the Elul has 30 days. And never before, never after, did it, never after, never before, I'm not sure. Never after did it ever have 30 days. And one opinion is that it historically did have one, but it won't have. Some opinions ignore that once in a while, they have 30 days, but it was highly improbable. It was very rare. And the same thing, Ador. Ador has some of the issues, even when you have other shani. The second Ador always has 29 days. It's highly improbable that the Ador, which is right next to this, is going to have 30 days. Once in a Yoruba, it would have 30 days. So they had the right to follow rope. Everybody knew where the Shredish Ador was. By the time it came, faced us, it was already 45 days after Ador. Everybody already knew when the Shredish Ador was. Maybe they didn't know our Purim when Ador was. By the time it came 48 days after the Shredish, they already knew when the Shredish Ador was. But they had the right to follow the rope. The rope years, Ador has 29 days. And if today is Pesach, not that tomorrow is Yom Tov. And the same thing when it came Rosh Hashanah. Everybody knew that Rosh Hashanah, and it's not all the year, Elul only has 29 days. Is that what I'm saying? Right. So the whole rumor of observing Yom Tov Sheni Shavuot is, if you don't know, the whole sake of the end is only a make-believe sake in the Rabbah. Never was a real sake of the right in the Chumash. The whole thing was only a Chumash in the Rabbah. It's interesting, the Gra'inim, the Gra'inim point out when did this institution begin? The institution of Sheikh of the Yom Tov observed 2 days Yom Tov. But the Chumash HaGra'inim, they say that when Reuven and Dov Lechav the Sheikh of Tamnashe came to fight the war in Eretz Yisrael, the effort of Sheikh Hekipshu, so then Yeshua sent him back to Eidah Yad. He said, "What thing is this Mishtak be well?" And don't forget, you're not going to know when Yom Tov is, so observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. The Chumash HaGra'inim, they say they have a tradition. Where'd they get the tradition? I don't know. They have an oral tradition. That the one who instituted the Takana of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath, it wasn't the real Sheikh of the Right. So who was the one who instituted this, either Dinya the Rabbon or Minit, whatever it was? So the Gra'inim say it was Yeshua Benu. That when he sent back the 2.5 Shvatim, Reuven's brother, Chachi Sheikh Tamanashi Tevar Yagi, he told them that you're not going to know for sure when Yom Tov is, so always observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. In the days of refuge, in the days of the Tanaim, they had a faith of the Yoimah, so they did have 2 days of Hashanah for sure. Everybody who lived far away from the Beit Avad, wherever the Mokam of the Beit Avad was, right? So they wouldn't know when Rosh Hashanah was. So they thought they had observed 2 days of Hashanah. The whole Machlokes that you're referring to is, that the big Machlokes, the Riz and the other Mishnayim, that after the days of Abai Zerov, when Him Lasheni instituted the calendar as we have it today, that's called Kiddush HaKodesh of the Achashmin, we no longer have Kiddush HaYoriyah, there's no way for the Eidim to come. And we know in advance when Rosh Hashanah is going to be. It's all fitted. All the calendar is going to be fitted for years to come. As we have said, we all know when all the Yom Tovim are going to be. So the question is, today, we have to observe 2 days Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. So still it's probably the Baal HaMor, right, in his time of Eretz HaKadosh, on his base, on the first place of Eretz Yisrael. It is still the Talmidim of the Riz, came to Eretz Yisrael, the Riz lived in North Africa. So until his Talmidim came to Eretz Yisrael, he says that they only had 1 day Rosh Hashanah. They never had 2 days Rosh Hashanah. And the Riz included in Eretz Yisrael that 2 days Rosh Hashanah based on the Riz stuff. The Riz holds me up that 2 days Rosh Hashanah. But that's Hakash Shailu. Do you have to have 2 days Rosh Hashanah now? What's the issue of Rambam? It's a very interesting shayla. Rambam points out that, let's say, Bizman Shikichu Afi Horiya, years ago, when he used to wait for the Eidim to come, so those who lived in Chutzlot had Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. Those who lived in Eretz Yisrael didn't have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. Why does it depend that you live in Eretz Yisrael, you live in Goliath? What does that do with living in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to living in Chutzlot? But the Rambam says it has nothing to do. The Rambam writes in Chutzlot, Kiddush HaKadosh Shayla, that's really nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael versus Goliath. It depends how far the Shluchi Bezdin reached. The Bezdin, the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, the Bezdin used to send out Shluchim after they were in the Kaddish of Zachorinish. They would send out messengers. They had no telephone, they had no telegraph system. And he used to send out shluchim to notify the people when they had to clear the church. The Makomos, they didn't have unlimited money. There was a limit to how much money they wanted to spend on the shluchim. So the shluchim would reach to a certain distance, a certain radius from Yerushalayim or whatever the Beis Hamikdash was. So that area which was covered by the shluchim, so they knew when the yantar was, and they only had one day yantar. Those who lived further out had to have 2 days yantar. So the Rambam writes, there were places in Chutzlaret which were so close to Yerushalayim that they only had one day yantar. The shluchim were not here. There were places in Eretz Yisrael that were so far away, let's say Kiryat Shmona. Kiryat Shmona is very far away, much further than a lot of places in Chutzlaret. Or all the way down in the Negev. There are places all the way in the Galilee, all the way in the Negev, that are so far away from Yerushalayim, that even though it's in Eretz Yisrael, they have to take yantar. But they're not right, hold on, that this does not depend on whether you live in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutzlaret, it depends on how close you are to the place where the Beis Hamikdash is. That's what the Rambam writes in Rashi Kitshah POV. What about the Zmanah Zeh? That we don't have any more Kitshah POV. We have a Kriya Chalurah. They said in the days of Rabbi Rav, the Himash, Rabbi Rav, the Kibbogo, the Himash, he was the Nazi and Eretz Yisrael. He established the Lua, the calendar as we have it. So he established that Lua, so a new Shaila came up, and you have to continue to observe Yom HaShem Shal Gavir. Why is the Shaila over here? Another two blocks. Mora says, in the Sanda, the Dawud on the day, the Gemara says, the Hashkin on 6 lines in the Bible. That's the Yadina Bikriya, the Yarcher, now it's Bismana said that we all have a calendar, and there is no stake of the Yayma at all, so do we still observe Yom Tashayim as we do? Why? My time I'm doing Shayayim, why do we still continue to observe Yom Tashayim? There's no stake of the Yayma at all. The Gemara says that at the time, in the days of Yom Tashayim, the days of Abai Rabbah, when he instituted this system, when we have the calendar, so they yes, the Shayim should be continuing to observe Yom Tashayim, so the Pesach came, Shalom Nitzam, they sent the Pesach from Eretz Yisrael from there, Shalom Nitzam, they sent the Pesach from Eretz Yisrael to Bogel, he deserved an inigat to stay in the event, and he should still continue with the practice that they had, that the forefathers had before, since they always had 2 days younger, we should still continue today. So the Shailah, when they gave that Pesach, what does that mean? We should observe 2 days younger in the same way that our forefathers observed the Tahayim. Those who live close to Yerushalayim only have 1 day yantar. Those who live far away have 2 days yantar. And it doesn't matter whether you live in Eretz Yisrael or on Chutzlaret. Oh no! After that, after the calendar was established, then absolutely doesn't make any sense logically that you should observe Yom Tashayim while going with the rule. But the only thing is they tend to stop, you should still continue to observe it. So maybe become the Eilech, the demarcation line is Eretz Yisrael versus Chutzlaret. And in all of Eretz Yisrael, there's no Yom Tashayim. And in all the Chutzlaret, there is Yom Tashayim. Why in the world should you say like that? Why should you say that it depends on Yom versus Chutzlaret? It's very difficult to understand. That's about looking at the Rambam in the report. The Rambam says that even after the setting of the fixing of the calendar, it still doesn't matter whether you live in Eretz Yisrael or Chutzlaret. The Rambam says it depends how close you are to the Yerushalayim. How close are you to the place? Are you living in an area where the Shluchim used to come or not? And the report says not so. In Eretz Yisrael, there are places in Eretz Yisrael where they have to observe Yom Tashayim Shavuot. In fact, a Belva was some of it, she lives in Meir Shor, and he used to observe Yom Tashayim Shavuot. Because Meir Shor is Mamash right next to Yerushalayim, and Meir Shor didn't exist Bizman HaTamar. It was a community that was just established this century. Oh. So if you know for sure that the Shluchim used to travel from here to here on that route, and then they build a city in between, then if the Shluchim would have continued to travel today, they would have bumped into your city. But then you don't have to serve 2 days young. So Gomer said he doesn't know whether Meir Shalom was built on a spot that's on the route where the Shluchim used to travel or not. Maybe the Shluchim used to go above and below, and they never traveled on this route. That's why he thought that he was Machner. He was a very nervous person when it came to Shluchim on this route. So he's not even, he was not just a 5 minute walk from Yerushalayim. How far is this Meir Shalom to Yerushalayim? So that the Yeratika. He used to observe Yom Tashayim because of the Rambam Shita. And everybody else holds not so. The meaning today is like the Ritzvot. The Ritzvot says that it's against the Rambam, that his man is there, no longer depends on how close or how far you are from Yerushalayim, but rather when you live in Eretz Yisrael, so that years ago the meaning was like the Rambam does. And the Sefer Tzachta Vazera, one of the Rishonim lived in Eretz Yisrael, he wrote a paper, he lived in the days of the Rambam. it's Shimon in the writing about how to observe the Mitzvah of Lulav Bo'ur. And he looks at that point, right, about the different cities and the different kinds of observation there. So he writes that there are cities in Eretz Yisrael where they observe 2 days Yom-Tov, and there are cities in Kutzvot where they observe 1 day Yom-Tov. And he says, based on the Ramah, it all depends how close or how far you are from your childhood. It's irrespective of whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or Kutzvot. It all depends how close you are. But today, the common practice is, like the Rizvot, that it depends whether you live in Eretz Yisrael or Kutzvot. Why? It absolutely doesn't make any sense at all. Why should that be so? But the Yankee bends in one of his children seems a bit of a hazard. Because if you look at the Gemara, that Dalam is saying, the Gemara says that when they established the Luach, in the days of Rabbi Baruch, Hil Hashem, he was the Nazi in Eretz Yisrael. And he established the Luach. So they had the Shaila then, now that we have the Luach, we all know when Yom Tov is. So we still have to observe Yom Tov Sheni. So they sent a stop in Eretz Yisrael. They sent a letter. The Zohar of Linegah today from the Yedei Commission still continues to observe 2 days Yom Tov. Why? What's the reason? Didn't in the Gazra HaMalchus Gezerah, sometimes the Jewish government will make a Gezerah Hashmar against the Jewish people, and they won't allow the Jewish people to have calendars. That's Russia, Rahman Islam. Jews are found with calendars. Some places they'll put them in prison. They'll send them to Siberia because they have a calendar. Yeah. So the Gemara says, didn't in the Gazra HaMalchus Gezerah, the government will make a Gezerah against the Jews within this persecution. And they won't know when Yom Tov is buzzing, they turn Kulei and Matana, they'll be eating comments, but that's, they'll guess, they think today, Pesach, they still observe 2 days Yom Tov, and some of them won't be that far off, either yet. They will say, cut today's Pesach. So instead of observing comments, 7 days will observe 8 days, the most probably they will have hit the right 7 days. So if they've only observed 7 days, they may be off by 1 day, they may be making a mistake. Talk to when they had the Machana Yom HaKippurim. So many of the Israeli that's the reason why you observe 2 days Yom Tov. So why does it make a difference whether you live in Eretz Yisrael or you live in Chutzlar? The British were running Eretz Yisrael, then the Turkish were running Eretz Yisrael, then the Arabs, all along for so many years until 1948 when the Jews took over, so many years Eretz Yisrael was under British control, that the British government in Eretz Yisrael can make a clear Tashmat against the Jews also, and the Jews in Eretz Yisrael won't know when Yom Tov is. But the reason why we have to observe 2 days Yom Tov in America and in Russia and in South Africa all over the world is because there may be a Gzeret Hashmar, we won't know when Yom Tov really is. So if you'll observe the Yisra Chomet's 8 days, so you'll be more secure that the Chodesh is observing the right 7 days. So why doesn't Chashash apply in Eretz Yisrael as well? So if Yankee Feminine claims, we don't have to be so worried about Eretz Yisrael. Even when Eretz Yisrael is under non-Jewish control and under non-Jewish government, the Rebbeinu Shlom wouldn't let them have so much control that they should make a Gzeret against the Jews that we shouldn't know when Yom Tov is going to be. We don't have to worry about that. Sadly, that's why it's assumed today, like the perhaps, that's why it's assumed today, like before, that the cutoff point is there, it's still versus Chutzlar, rather than how close you are to Yerushalayim. So, like the Rambam, whoever is close to Yerushalayim and never observed 2 days Yom Tov years ago does not observe today. Whoever's far away used to observe 2 days Yom Tov should observe today. We say that the cutoff point is there, it's still versus Chutzlar. Here the Shaila is, what do you do on the 2 days Rosh Hashanah? In Eretz Yisrael, years ago, they all used to observe 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Up until the day of Rabbi Baruch, because no one knew when Rosh Hashanah really was. only in a place where the Tesnagoda was, they sometimes got away with one day Rosh Hashanah. The rest of it, so everybody had 2 days Rosh Hashanah. And the Shaila is, we today, who live in America, we observe 2 days Yom Tov, and in America, we don't observe, let's say, paper shul, they don't observe 2 days Yom Tov. Why is that? That we observe 2 days and they don't observe 2 days. Is it that whoever used to observe continues to observe? That's the Shaila. Meaning I'm saying the other day. So the simple, the literal translation is whoever used to observe 2 days Yom Tov because of a real suffering should still continue to observe even though there's no longer a suffering. So that's what the Rambam says. Whoever used to observe should still observe, whoever never observed doesn't observe. And it doesn't depend on Eretz Yisrael versus Kutzlar. It depends on how close and how far you are away from Yerushalayim. Those are the close enough who never observe 2 days Yom Tov. So they don't observe 2 days Yom Tov even if they live in Kutzlar. You say like that, so then even those who live in Eretz Yisrael, they all observe 2 days Rosh Hashanah. But then the risk is right. The risk makes sense if you hold like the Rambam. But namely, that the Rambam says it doesn't depend whether Eretz Yisrael versus Kutzlar. It all depends on whether any Malkum where you are, if that Malkum used to have 2 days Yom Tov years ago, so they should continue to observe 2 days Yom Tov today. The difficulty is that we don't follow the Rambam, the Negev, to the other Yom Tovim. We follow the Ritzvah, that it depends on Eretz Yisrael versus Kutzlar. So we should observe 2 days Rosh Hashanah. There's no reason why she keeps 2 days Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael.
Okay, there has to be some pair. If you don't follow the Ritzvah, there is a Ritzvah, there is a Ritzvah, and you don't follow the Ritzvah, you have to do Rosh Hashanah. I don't know. Take a look. Logically speaking, it should follow that on Rosh Hashanah there shouldn't be, according to the Ritzvah, there should not be 2 days Rosh Hashanah. According to the Rambam, there should be 2 days Rosh Hashanah. But the reason is how many fit in together. The problem is that we don't follow the Rambam, or you have to change shall go with it, so we shouldn't follow the risk when he gave the 2 days Rosh Hashanah. That's the Balamor of Kasha. The Balamor says up until the time that the Talmidei Harid, Saint Eretz Yisrael, and Aliyah, they only observe 1 day Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. They never had 2 days Rosh Hashanah. It means after they fixed the calendar. Before they fixed the calendar, of course they had 2 days Rosh Hashanah. That's Mishnah in Erev, and that's what I'm saying. Of course, when he's in the Kaddish of the Aliyah, they always have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So this Mishnah in Erevim presents the original Machlokes of Yudah and Rabbanan. When you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, he says, Yom HaRich Darnan. So because Rav Yudah says, Mas Nod Amal HaKalkova, HaKalkova is a basket. He has a basket of Teres, which are several, and he forbidden to be Mavish from the Tamay Tisachale, and Shabbos the Yom Tov, so he's Mavish Al HaTanai, that's called Masya. He's Mavish Al HaTanai. And then on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, he repeats that HaKrosh again. Al HaTanai, he says, if yesterday was Rosh Hashanah, I'm Mavish today, and if yesterday was not Rosh Hashanah, so I'm Mavish now. And then by the time it comes to the second day, he makes the second up Rosh Hashanah, so he's sure he's submitted to you. That's what Rav Yudah says, and I'm going to say no. You can't be Mavish Allah tonight if yesterday was Kodesh, if today's Kodesh. Both days are Kodesh, and there's a Rabbanah. The first day is Yosef, the day after the second is Yosef, the Rabbanah. So you can't make such a tonight. That's the Mavish, because you're in the Rabbanah. Whether you say 2 days, we're up to Gimel Amin Aleph, Gimel Amin Aleph towards the Bana. But maybe we'll try again. Let's take a look. Gimel Amin Aleph right in the middle. We're learning Beitza. Say that by Rosh Hashanah. We're learning Beitza. So the first edition in Beitza have a dinner. Beitza shalom to beyond, you're not allowed to eat. And the Gemara has four different reasons why you're not permitted to eat. So they quoted there. Rabbi says this, and Rabbi Yechon says that, Rabbi Yishka says this, and somebody else. Who's the other one? Another Rambam, Rabbi, said another one. But now they quoted, what does Rabbi Yechon have to say? All these people are giving opinions lived in Bava. What do the Amorim and Aristotle have to say about this? So they quote, the Av Rav Yechonah right in the middle of Gimel Amin Aleph. The Av Rav Yechonah Zobah Zer Mishinashka Shazobah. Rav Yechonah holds like the sheep that the reason for Beit Mishinoga being off there is because Mashka Shazobah. How do you know? He never said so explicitly, but Rav Yechonah had a contradiction between two things that Rav Yudah said, and he gave a parrot. So the fact that he gave a whole shear on it, the premise of his single parrot was that the reason why Beit Mishinoga beyond the Zobah is because it's included in Mashka Shazobah, right? the Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi, the Rabbi Yudah, the Rabbi Yudah in the Shani had a contradiction, a Rumia, or a Minu. He had a Rumia, a steer between two things that Rabbi Yudah, the Tanis there. Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Yudah, the Tanis of Rabbi Yudah. So Mishnali and Rabbi Yechon gave a Terah. What was the contradiction of one of the Terah? So now we have a Mishnah and Shabbat. In terms of the Tafel's work, the Mishnah, you know, squeeze that through some Shabbat to Yom Tov in order to get the juice out. It's the Nitzar of Tisha. He's not going to ask him about and even if the Jews do that by itself, it's in there that Rabban that can allow drink and exhale Shem and Yitzko. And Judas says, well, as he says, in the Yochlin, if these are fruits that are sitting around in the refrigerator, and the only Lachila, then I know the speaker, like a grapefruit or whatever, you claim to eat it, you don't get to squeeze it out. But then if the Jews do that by itself, there is there that Rabban, there Shem and Shem and Yitzko. He's not interested in squeezing out the fruit at all. In the alternative, these fruits are in the machila. I guess now, mutter, there's no reason to make it. There. In the mashkin, if the parents are on the street, his intention is to squeeze it out, and then lose that by itself. Oh, then it makes sense to make it there. I guess the man, mutter, then it makes sense to make it there, and upon there, shall he is, because his intention is ultimately to squeeze out the fruit. Alma, what do you see, Rabbi Yudish? He says, call off from the Rabbi Yudish, the difference to the parents are in the machila. And it's not only the street, so there is no Zera de Rabban and Amash Meshizola. I say it's like Rechosh and Nifrad may also have an Esmuta. So Frek Rabbi Yechon and Ninu, but they have a contradiction that the Mishnah says an Erez in the Machlech of Yudin and Rabbanon, so the 2 days Rosh Hashanah are Steak of the Yoyma, that it's not a Yoyma Rishta, Steak of Dusha, but they say no, it's Yoyma Rishta, Dusha. So if you didn't fit, all along, he says that the 2 days Rosh Hashanah is baked the Yoyma, that you can have a separate chum for the first and a separate chum for the second day. And the Baal Tfilah Daras Ban Ramad, he says, Tipo Hashem HaKena Tima Zikaran Hazeh Im Hayom Im Lamokha. And the second day he says, Im Esmo Im Hayom. And everything he says is baked the Yoyma. So one of the things that he says that Rosh Hashanah is baked the Yoyma, he says, Mas Zohar HaRabi, he said another thing, the 2 days Rosh Hashanah is baked the Yoyma. Mas Nodem HaLakal Kol Oshol Teiro is the Yom Tov Rishon on the first day Rosh Hashanah. He forgot to be Makish Kim with the Mises. He submitted to be Makish Al HaTanai. Makna means to make a Tanai in the Haprasha on the death before the fruit on the Karkolos of Peros. The Oslo of Hashem, then on the second day of Hashem, he repeats the same Tanai, the same Haprasha Al HaTanai, and he eats on the second day. Because I say that it's Shtei Kedushin. Either one day is Kodesh and the other day is Kol, or the second day is Kodesh and the first day is Kol. The Chayin, and similarly, Rav Yehuda says that it's Shtei Kedushin, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Beit Shemot the Berishon, Teyachol B'Shevi. The paper that was the hand laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you may eat on the second day. It is not Yom HaRisk. And we don't ask like that either. We ask him that it's Yom HaRisk of L'chol Dineh. L'chol Dineh Yom. The paper of Shemot the Berishon is not on the second day. It's not on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. On the other day, on the other Yom HaSed, paper of Shemot the Berishon is the day that is paper of Shemot. But on Rosh Hashanah, we pass on 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, is Yom HaRisk. So the Gemara makes a deal. If you only allowed you to eat the Beit Shanon of the Rosh Hashanah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the Shani, you only allowed to eat on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. But the Rishon, no, but on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you're not permitted to eat it. So the Rav Yechon is about to discuss why. Why in the world is the Beit Shanon to be on the bottom of it all to begin with? Maybe the Tom said he must be a Rav Yechon. Rav Yechon is assuming that the only reason under the sun to forbid the Beit Shanon is because it's included in the Gzeres of Rabbanon of Mashu Shizor.
Why is God? Why
is the Mishnah sitting in this thing in the region? Why? Yes, we didn't explain it yet. We didn't explain it at all. We just said that there are four cases, Tumen Atzer and Tumen Rabon, where we discuss whether it's Kedushah or not. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah we pass in Kedushah, the 2 days of every other Yom we pass in Rosh Hashanah. Why should it be Kedushah? We didn't explain it. We answered. There's a Mohammed. The Ramban on the bottom of the rib, where the Balamor attacks the rib, and he says that we shouldn't observe 2 days Rosh Hashanah today, so only one day. The day the Ramban gives you the clue, he starts to explain why Rosh Hashanah is different from every other Yom. Well, I forget, the Gemara explains it. The Gemara can't fully understand it. But the Ramban explains what's going on here. We're going to learn it again. Coming up in this day. So Rabbi Yechon was bothered with a kasha. Rabbi Yechon is assuming that the only reason why a Beit Shanah to be on the results of Achilo is because it's included in the Gzeirah de Rabbanon of Mashkish Zav with things. And Mashkish Zav was the Gzeirah that he may squeeze it out. But Rabbi Yudah the Tani says on Atzeva Shabbat on Atzkuvn and Gimel that the only time you have this Gzeirah Mashkish Zav is if the thing is under the Tchipa, it's only to squeeze out for the Jews. You have juice oranges, but if you have eating oranges, or you have grapefruit that you don't plan to squeeze out, the wire. You have tomato, if he's not going to squeeze out the tomato, he can eat the tomato. If the juice is that by itself, therapeutic, it doesn't make any sense, but that's a good job. In which the sugar is going to squeeze out the egg from the hen. No one ever squeezes out the egg. It's not under the speaker. The rabbi, the shittos, should hold it. The basis should hold it beyond the mutter on the first day on the. What we say is mutter on the second day. Rosh Hashanah got to take dushes. The whole day of. Okay, that's the Gemara says on the day. Okay, Gemara's going to say another test. The first Gemara thought that it's a Venice Lachim. And the only reason why it's forbidden is because of the Xerah of Mashmash is Zavu, with Rabbi Yechon in it, it contradicts what Rabbi Yechon himself holds. Rabbi Yechon himself, not Sefer Shabbat, says that whenever it's not either Yud Tisa, so it's not Hashash, so it's Sheva Yizko. But how does he say that on the first day Rosh Hashanah, the day to his altar, should even be put on the first day Rosh Hashanah? So Rabbi Yechon was bothered with the Kasha, Umishani Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon had no other answer other than to say, Mukhlet is Hashito. That which one is Mukhlet Tashita? This makes a big part over here. That the Mishnah Shabbos is reversed. It's a bit different than the Mishnah. The Mishnah Shabbos that says that Judah is a Nathan, the Rabbana Mahmer, if the tomato juice loose out by itself and you didn't really plan to squeeze out the tomatoes, the Judah is a Nathan, it's really a misprint. The Judah is a Mahmer, the Rabbana is a Nathan. The Judah is a Mahmer, it makes sense that the Judah is going to base the Shalom to be on. It's also, even though it does make sense to be good that it's going to squeeze out, no one ever squeezed out any eggs from that. That's what Rabbi Yechon says. So the Gemara now comments on Rabbi Yechon. Well, neither Kozir Milahu Ahadavi from the fact that he considered this a Rumiya, from the fact that he considered this a contradiction between the two things that Rabbi Yechon said. You can infer that Rabbi Yechon holds that the reason for Beit Shalom being forbidden is Mashka Shazal. But the whole Dafki Marini wrongly discussed what the Amorim Bubble has to say on the Mishka. There are four reasons. And now we discover what Rabbi Yechon has to say. He holds it as Mashka Shazal. Rabbi Yechon and his answer is a shvera answer. He says that the Mishnah and Shabbat are misprint. Mechlefet Hashita. Can we get a better answer? So Ravina Amar and Tachov Gimel Amar. Ravina says, we are the blood table. You don't have to refer, you don't have to say that there's a misprint in the Mishnah and Shabbat. Rabbi Yudah is the Nachman and Rabbanah and the Meikov. You can say that Rabbi Yudah himself, he holds that a Beit Vishnol that the Yosef is Mutter. A Beit Vishnol that the Yosef is Mutter because the Mutter squeezed out the Beit Vishnol. Which we shouldn't have done, squeeze out the base of the man. Alright, so what does Rabbi say that the base of Shinol is put on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, or on the first day? The Rabbi says, this is Rehem the Rabbana Kamalu. He's not saying, Rabbi is not saying what I hold it in it. He's debating with the Rabbana on whether 2 days Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaRich Tosh, Deik Dushas, Rabbi holds it as Deik Dushas. So he says, you fellows earlier, you Tanoim hold, that you're not allowed to eat the base of Shinol, I hold you about even on the base of Shinol, but you're on the base of Shinol, but you shouted. I hold that it's mutter, because as far as I'm concerned, Mashmish Shazavu is only out to the same as Titra. If the thing is not able to speak, it's not mutter. Any way to Shinold is mutter. The time of birth is not a medicine speak. But according to you, Tanoi, who disagree with me, you hold that the base of Shinold is the answer is also, but usually we on the second day of Rosh Hashanah should be mutter because of Shnei Kedushas. Rebuta the Devein Zarabon Kamalu. He's arguing with him. He says, Rebiti, in my opinion, I feel that we should not show you why, because the time of birth is not a medicine speak. It's Uchla Dikr to the Tzorichu Shemifad Meyecho. Eloyid is true, but you hold that the Beit Shinol the Beyonce is also by Achita because of the Gzera, Mashka Shazavu. Hold to the Emiyot, but at least you should admit to me, you should be murdered to me, that on the second day Rosh Hashanah should be Mutter, Beit Shinol on the first day, should be Mutter on the second day because of Shteik Dushit. The Shteik Dushit says, we are very Rabbanon, and the Chacham is to be me saying, no, it's Dushakasi, the 2 days Rosh Hashanah, that's the Machlokes HaTanaim in the Mishnah area. So Avinu just avoided saying that there's a misprint in the Mishnah Maaseh Rishon. And then Avinu Beis Ula also wants to avoid it, but instead of saying that he's debating with the Rabbanon Lidi Reyer, he gives a different case. Avinu Beis Ula Omar, Hachla, the Mishnah in the Mishnah area in Daplam says, that speaks about a basis Shinoda of Rosh Hashanah being also by Achila, even according to Rabbi Yudah. He's talking about a time of Gernot Hamed is Ugagu Beitin. That's Mamish Mukta. So the Beit is Mukta. So forget about the reason of Mashka Shazav. You don't have to come out to that time, that's there. The beauty of the time, this way Mukta. That's what we learned from the beginning of the Sugya. You have a Beit, you should all go from a time of Gernot Hamed is Ugagu Beitin. So the time of Gernot Hamed is Ugagu Beitin. It's like a machine. The machine converted in the middle of Yom Kippur to become oil. That's Mamish Mela Gomor. It's like considered like a Yesh Meayin in the middle of Yom Kippur. A non-oichel converted to become an oichel. But then Rav Yudah, when she talks to the same as us, okay. we finally concluded the Gemara, but the Gemara gave the four reasons why the Beis Din should also be on the result. Three of the reasons were only with the Rabbanan, and one reason out of the four was not heard. Here the reason was the Rabbanan. One Amir said that a Beis Din should also be on the result is included in the big Zera Master Shizot. It's only there the Rabbanan Shem Yitzchok. And the other one said that it's included in the Xer the Rabbanan of Teres and Oishu, that the apples that fall off from the tree on their own are forbidden. It's about the Xer that you may climb up and rip off the apples. That's how Xer the Rabbanan. Even the third one is said that we're talking about a kind of Xer the Sanedas in the Gadol Basin, and then the basin was molded in the middle of Yom Tov, so the machine, part of which converted the chicken into the chicken that's not even Akiva, it's not called Oichel. So we label it like a machine, the machine, and then it's actually basin. The middle of Yom Tov, part of the machine converted to become an oil. It lays an egg. So that's the Nermad Gomer. The Nermad Gomer's Mukta is also only with the Rabbanan. So according to three explanations that the Gemara gave, the basis should know that the Yom Tov is only the Rabbanan. According to one out of the four explanations, rather, it sometimes would be an Isha the Raisa, and sometimes the Rabbanan, the high one. When you have Yom Tov next to Shabbos, and the basis is rolled on the second day, the Rabbanan says, it's full basis that's when they hand lays an egg today, it was Nigmaro yesterday, and to eat that egg on the second day is a violation of the Din of Hachon. You're not allowed to eat food on Yom Tov for Shabbos, that is it for Hachon, and namely the Dukhan on Yom Tov or on Shabbos. So that's the reason they're right. If you have Yom Tov next to Shabbos next to Yom Tov, and the basis are all on the second day, that would be an Ikka the right. And on a Shabbos Diyama, Yom Tov Diyama, a plain Shabbos, a plain Yom Tov, there's no issue of Hachon, that's the day that the Rabbanan ought to Shabbos next to Yom Tov, Yom Tov next to Shabbos. Well, this is the point of Rabbi.
The second day
the second day
should
be any worse than all the other days, so we have the second day should. But then they have And the first 14 days of Tishrei, not only can they not travel on the 2 days of Shabbat, they can't travel on the Kippur, they can't travel on Rosh Hashanah. They miss 4 days that they can't travel. You can only travel after 14 days, 10 days. But there are another 2 days where they can't travel. So they will put the Gemara has in Rosh Hashanah at the end of the second Torah. They learn the Kol where the Shluchei Nisan would reach, and they would know when it would take up, when the Shluchei Nisan would reach. The Shluchei Tishrei would not reach. So those places, we ought to say that they have to observe 2 days Sukkot, but basically they only have to observe 1 day. So the Gemara says, no, they did that, to observe 2 days Sukkot, they made it clear to their opponent that everything should be even, they also have to observe 2 days Pesach. So that's what the Rambam quotes that Gemara says, and even as far away as you live, but Shavuot, everybody's going to know when. By the time it comes Shavuot, it's 50 days after Pesach, which itself is 15 days after Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So it's 65 days after Rosh Chodesh Nisan. They don't know yet. 65 days, they don't know. The Rambam says that since they didn't know when Pesach was, they didn't know when Shavuot was, they had to have 2 days on the fair. So it's a late look, they have to have 2 days Shavuot as well. That's what the Rambam says. That's what the Rambam says. Mark says that if you live in a place where you have to serve 2 days Yom Tov for some Yom Tov for another, then you have to serve all the Yom Tov.
Part of the same
yeah. The original Zera, not a later Zera. Part of the original Zera, you have to observe through the Yom. But now the Gemara is going to ask Akash and make, you have a bright Zera, and a basis should know that the Shabbat can be Yom Tov is also about the and a basis should know that the Shabbat can have a basis should know that the Yom Tov, whether it's not about on Shabbat and Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat it, and the Mele, whatever you have food that you're not allowed to eat, it's considered Mukta, in the Talsu in Mars. Unless, let's say I have trace of food in the Vela, trace of and I think they feed it to the bay or to the bird. That's not mukhsa. It's Michael Banger, it's not mukhsa. But if I have, we mentioned, if I have raw potatoes, which I don't plan, if I want to feed it to the bay, it's not mukhsa. But if I plan not to feed it to the bay, and I'm sure if I can't cook it, I'm young to the sun, I can cook it, I can cook the raw potatoes. you know, if I have roast potatoes on Shabbos and I'm not allowed to cook them, then I don't plan to feed it to the Bema. But he can't use it for anything on Shabbos. And then it says in Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avraham quotes in the Rashba, that it's mutter to go on. So this also, if you have a taste dish and all the Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it, it's mutter. If you want, you can feed it to the door. You can let the animals eat it. But you don't plan to give the raw egg to the animals. You're going to wait till Shabbos the Yom is over, then you're going to cook the egg, and then you've got to eat it. So it's like the raw potatoes on Shabbos. That they're mukta. So this is also considered mukta. So once I say it's mukta, not only are you not allowed to eat it, even talking to the you can't even move it around. Any purpose. You can't move it around. However, if you're afraid that it's going to get finished, funny thing. So the raw egg, yeah. Hold up. It's a funny one. The shrill shulek is shorter. I'm afraid, let's say, someone's going to extract the egg. I'm permitted to take a jar or a pot and invert it, turn it upside down on top of the base cloth, but no one should finish. We'll get to that Russian type of discussion. It's an important one. The ikar is the next one. It's more than a discussion. It's vapor asur. And if I have an egg, and I'm not sure whether this vapor was rolled on air yantiv or on yantiv, it says, and stuff says, it's forbidden. And then it's more continuous. What about one egg that's awesome? Oh, that's what we're going to get to. So the Gemara, yeah. There were four reasons why the basis should all be dissolved. Three out of the four are only with the Rabbanon. The only one who says that it's Devin that they're right there is Rabbanon asked to the Yom Tov next to Shabbos, then it was Nold on the second day. Oh, then it's Anissa Achon that they're right. And if you only have a plain Shabbos playing on, then it's a plain the Rabbanon. How is it right to say that Sosik Lachumra? How can it be? Beg the Gemara, the Shlema, the Rabbi, the Yom HaMishim HaChone. If you all like Rabbi, that's the reason why you didn't need the Beg the Shinova, because 2 days in a row. Oh, how did they get their eyes? Oh, they get their eyes to Lachumra. The Dina Bachon of the Rabbi, the real thing their eyes. He has to go Lachumra. And if you all like the other three opinions, the Yom HaMishim Zeres, they get their Rabbanu, or they get their Rabbanu, they're cool. Why don't you go to Kumbre? Why do you say that if you have a thought that you go to Kumbre? And for the Gemara, no, the last line in the Braisa that says, Vekla Surah goes on a different Braisa. It doesn't go on the first line in the Braisa, Echa Braisa Shalom, Shalom, Echa Braisa Shalom. It goes on a Landa Braisa. You have an eagle raising egg. So the eagle is a Mintome, that's a raising egg, you have an ostrich raising egg. So the ostrich is trained. After said, I'll take all the time. The Gemara under that in Chulun, the Gemara under that in the Pesach. Bat HaYana. The Gemara asked, what is it? It's Bat Yeshua HaYana. Yana is an ostrich. So, only female ostriches are what? And male ostriches are Mutter. An ostrich is also, what do you mean Bat HaYana? Bat HaYana is also Yana. No, it says no, Bat HaYana refers to the Beisah HaYana. Well, the Beisah, there's something is also Bat HaYana. The egg is kosher. Why should I think that it's not? Egg is not vodka. That's the marker that pig's milk is also, why not an apostle? That a yotzim and answer is also, that's the one and only marker. It says, Batayana. That is the marker for the principle of yotzim and answer is also. And not only do you have an oyster tummy, an eagle or an ostrich lays an egg, what if you have a chicken, a hen? But the hen has a broken leg in such a way, sometimes the leg is broken and the whole chicken is not a tray for just that part that's broken is broken on him. And sometimes it's broken high enough, the whole chicken will be off from it. Even if you check, the whole chicken will be off. What about a chicken that's a tray for? It means that the chicken is a kosher, it's the right kind of a fowl, but it has a broken, has a hole in a limb or something, and the thing is broken. Or that they have a cow. A cow is a kosher animal, it's not a pig. But if the cow has a broken leg, or the cow has a hole in the lung, or something like that, then the cow will be a traitor. So let's say I milk the cow, and I know in advance that the cow is a traitor. Let's say I don't know in advance, and I make certain. So whatever milk I drank it. Let's say I made cheese. That cheese, and then I checked, a month later, I checked that cow, and I find that this cow has had a traitor for the week. Based on what that traitor looks like, the doctors can tell us this traitor was there for the next 3 months. It didn't develop overnight. So all the cheese that you have, the milk your kids, not shy, you don't have milk for 3 months, but all the cheese that you have is going to be also about evil. That's the thing, you're going to have to be so that's an infinite of their answer. The milk or the eggs, they come from a famous layer, or they come from a famous trade form, or they come from the eggs that come from a mint tomate, or they come from a mint tohor, but it's a trade form, are also about evil based on that person, Bata Yama.
The Gemara says that's what the Yitro Asron is Sotik Yitro. The last line in that bright, the next to the last line that says, but Yitro Asura, if you have an egg and it's a Sotik, it's kosher and trade, doesn't go a Sotik whether the Yitro is an altar, the Shabbos of the Yerushan, it goes, and you have an egg and it's a Sotik, but there's no other from an offset. If it's a Sotik, if it's a chicken egg, why not a chicken? Just look at it to be able to tell. It looks as it gets a shape. You know, there's a bone, you can tell by the shape of the egg whether it comes from a Mishnahar or a Mishnahar. But you can't tell, if it comes from a chicken, you can't tell whether it's from a chafer or from a shaver. That you can't tell by looking at the egg. But yes, that's a Sotik, that would be the sake of their eyes to look at.
Why is it
possible?
Why is it
just says it's also
about
me. That's what I'm going to ask the next question. So why is it possible? Okay. This will be the next question. Next question, that's what we'll get. Right, the bride is not going for the basis in all the Bishab. And the Gemara now is Matrix, is a different case. The Gemara is going to back out. If we'll ever get that part, the next half, the Gemara is going to back out. I'm dollar now. But so far, the Gemara is Matrix to say that once the bride is speaking about Hilfer's egg, then it's ruined another thing in Hilfer's egg. That a basis from an ice from egg, or an ice koho, which is Nishrapur, is also after Bakhila. And in that case, it's an issue of their eyes. And then you'll say it's based on their eyes of the woman. Yeah. Sure? Okay. I got to say, they told me that last year, on Thanksgiving weekend, the Buddha had a convention. So they had, last year, they had a committee of Rabbanim who did Hashgachas, and they were giving reports about the Hashgachas. So somebody asked Rabbi Hanin in the question, well, they did Hashgachas based on Rove. So they rely on Rove. So he said, sure, he gives Hashgach and Chavik Zohar. And all milk relies on Rosh. What do you mean? He gives Hashgach, you're not going to rely on Rosh. He can't eat any meat, he can't drink any milk, he can't eat anything if you don't rely on Rosh. The Gemara says that all milk is based on a Rosh, that we assume that Rosh and Aedes are not shaved. All chickens and all bangs, we don't check for all the traces. We only check in the Aedes, they check the lung. They don't check for all the other limbs in the body to see if the animal has a trace somewhere else in the body. They don't check if they have to see that as a signature, it's that they don't eat. But they don't check for all the other traits. So how do you know that the chicken or the baby doesn't have another check for the signature? You rely on the rope. Of course you rely on the rope. It's interesting when the Gemara presents the kasha here, if you hold like rabbits is in the right, you say you understand the state of the right to the chumra. If you hold like the other Amai right, that's only the Rabbanon, the one that's going to chumra. So the Gemara didn't mention all four names. The Gemara said the Shlema of the Rabba, but if you hold like Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yitzchak. On the right-hand side of the page, you see the tiny letters. On the right-hand side of the page, it's that top view of the page that's shown in there. Rabba the Rav Nachman lay for it. Even though Rav Nachman said that the Mishnah is talking about tiny letters and letters in God's basement, and it's the old shine of Mukhtar. Rav Yitzchak Mukhtar, Yitzchak Mukhtar, Yitzchak Mukhtar, Yitzchak Mukhtar. The book is only the Rabbah, so why doesn't the Gemara ask the Kasha on that one also? The Gemara leaves it out. The Gemara says, point to Rabbah is good, and point to Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yitzchak is over, and they left out Rav Nachman, whether he's good or he's no good. According to Rav Nachman, that the issue is Mukhtar, would you say, Tzveik of the Chumra, Tzveik of the Kula? And the Tzveik of the Shem says, well, according to Rav Nachman, even though Mukhtar is only a Dinah the Rabbanon, but since it's based on a prophet, the Echino, 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 there's an Asmachta, and the Chumash for the institution of Mukhtar, so a din the Rabbanu that has an asnach and a chumash, that you may say that steak of the Rabbanu a chumash. Even though it's only the Rabbanu, you don't say steak of the Rabbanu a chumash, I won't be the Rabbanu. A din the Rabbanu that has an asnach and a chumash, maybe the din is that you say steak of the Rabbanu a chumash. That's how the steak of Shishan writes on the side. That's how Rabbi Kibayr over here tells you to look in the Shita Mekubetzis in Bava Kama. Nobody ever looks there, but what it says is the following, Gashrein ha'along ha'alichzani. I wouldn't look either. But the first time in Yeridei, closest sheet in the letter, there's a long discussion. The Gemara said, Seifo Asron, the topic trace. If you have the egg with nolda from a hen, that's a trace. So if you have an egg that comes from an ostrich or from an eagle, right. So that's also an third. That's the topic Bat Hayama. That refers to the Seifo Shinolda and the Nintome. But how do you know the next topic that if the oak is the fowl and the Nintome, but it was Nishrapur,
you have the right to be Madama and say that that's also an Isha Deir, right? So should you say that that's only the Rabbanim? Or let's say the milk that you take from a pig is an Isha Deir, right? Or what about the milk that you take from a cow, and that cow happens to be a traitor, so that's also an Isha Deir, right? Or is that an Isha Deir Rabbanim? So the sheep in the Kodesh is in Bava Kama, what is in Bava Kama, why isn't it somewhere else in Bava Kama? That's where so the sheep in the Kodesh in Bava Kama quotes in the Bach in the other day, it quotes this. It quotes other Rishonim, we didn't have a sheep in the Kodesh in Bava Kama, it quotes this from other Rishonim. Not this standard, not this, it's not a Gemara Rashi and Tadish Rishonim. Ah, say, bro, Shulman, this one, that one, it's a regular Rishonim. But the Bach also quotes Rishonim to say that a Yetzim and Alkir is only also if it comes from a Min Tomei. But if it comes from a Min Tor, which happens to be a trade for, then it's only also with the Rabbon. But what is the Gemara, so the Sheikh in Tibet there, so what is the Gemara, so they say, some of the topic trade from? And that's why he says, they could derive from the Chumra. It's only taken the Rabbon. She says, take the Rabbon the Kuf. So the Sheikh in Tibet can give the same answer as the Tesh Shan here, that you don't always say, take the Rabbon the Kuf. There is some, it's doing the Rabbon, well, you have to go to the Kuf. So the Gemara held that this topic trade for where the Nisha is the Rabbon, and that's so similar. Yotzim in our trait is so similar to Yotzim in our Tomei, to our Min Tomei, but that is the Rabbanim is more common, so how to say this? Say to the Rabbanim is more common. That's that. Other Hashem say that it is there, right? That it's not the Rabbanim. The Rishit says that Minatar Yomu Barapa Bata Yano Min Tomei. But it's an Asnachta, the Asnachta even for a trait. If you have an Asnachta, so you go with them. We'll have to discuss, we'll the next week we'll have to discuss the issue of Taruvis and the issue of Kaif all of the time.
That is the big issue.
That
is the that's
what you don't need
to do. No, we from
the Kaif is mayor. No, no, it's a different part. The Mount Shabbos, it's completely different. The Mount Yetzer Hashem is Kifa, Ramut of the Kifa. You have to use Kaif when it comes from a Kaif. The Gemara quotes the Gemara in Stoffing on the Afnion Zion quotes that Tosik as the marker for Mukhtar. The Rashi said on the previous that that Mukhtar is their writer. Rashi says here Stoffing and Zion, they have not Mukhtar their writer. All the Shems disagree that Rashi Mukhtar is the Rabbana. But he's not the Rabbana, but it has enough Mukhtar in that Tosik, but it seems like the Shayabir. This week's parasha, the beginning of parashas by Yishla, the Ramban quotes from the Medrash that this is called the parashas Hagolos. The Torah tells us how Yaakov Avinu had to deal with his brother Esau, with the non-Jews, when they go. When they had Torah, and they persecuted Jews. So how exactly do you deal with the goyim? How are you supposed to quiet them? How are you supposed to do quiet negotiations? How are you supposed to have negotiations? How are you supposed to govern them? Are you supposed to fight for that? What are you supposed to do? The Rashi said to the Ramban, quotes the Medrash, that the Tanoim, who used to go deal with the Romans, used to learn through, the Medrash Rabbah says in this parasha, used to learn through the beginning of parasha of Yishlach every time that they had to go deal with him. In order to gain some insight as to how to deal with the Jews. It's just using psychology alone is very hard. Some Jews have a different psychology from non-Jews. We would think, well, if I was the Esau, what could I do? If I was the Gorbachev, what could I do? So I would tell him. But my mind doesn't think the same way, his mind thinks completely different. So it's very hard to guess. How does he think? How can I guess what he's going to think? So he's to learn through the parasha in order to gain some insight with the assumption that Ramban says that my father is in my body. Whatever happens with Jacob and with Esau, he's going to give some insight. Then the Medrash says that on one occasion, one of the Tanoim, when he went to deal with the Romans, didn't chazer through the parasha. Every time he went to deal with them, he chazered the parasha. Once he didn't chazer the parasha, he fell in. And after he took some grain with him to drive the taxi, and he stole his jacket. He lost a fortune of money in the middle of dealing with the Romans. It's interesting, Gestapemis points out that this whole parasha doesn't have any tzuchas to assume it's still the end of the whole thing. The Gemara says in Menachem that the purpose of Hafsokin in the Chumash, in the Shluchas HaShulman, is in order to give Moshe Rabbeinu a chance to pause and to digest what he forgotten, to digest what he had learned. He can't give the whole Torah a regal office. You're going to go teach liberation till the end of the run. A regal office. You can't pack everything in. You have to take a little dose at a time. You learn from one parasha to the other. Parasha means from Shluchas to a Shluchas, or Shluchas to a Shluchas, a paragraph. And here, from the beginning of our Yishlach, goes straight for four pages, until after he gets rid of Esav. Yosher Yomam Esav was darker to Europe. Yaakov not just because of the evil of boys and the same was the sutras at the end of that pasuk, that's where you have a summa. So the whole time they know how close to the Sartan is suggests of their Haremen that when you deal in chutzot and you're dealing with the goyim, you can't be Messiah Daz, you can't pause for a while to relax. If you're going to relax, then you're going to lose, for sure. You have to be alert the whole time and pay attention without any pause, and you can't sleep at night because you're going to pause, you're going to forget, and you're going to lose the battle. So what tak is the approach that one has to take? So now she goes to the medrash, and Yankee prepared himself for three different things, the dono, the tzima, and the mocham. And all three are correct. You have to, whenever possible, you have to do all three. Doro, absolutely, you have to give dono, you have to drive the goat. Whenever there's a possibility of driving and saving people's lives, or driving by giving money, or driving by giving covers, sometimes covers works better than money. Sometimes money works better than covers. He's going to have to be interested in. So whatever will work, you have to do. And the person, the Jews shouldn't feel that this is beneath our dignity, it's a priest. I call it for us. If driving works, we have to drive. The only thing is that driving doesn't always work, and sometimes you're not supposed to drive. There's a machlekes over here between the Tanoim, where the Yankees did right, the Yankees did wrong by driving. Rashi calls the Yankees ready for the three things, that in general, you have to prepare for three things. But sometimes you're not supposed to drive. Sometimes you have to use a different approach. So the Medrash Rabbi says that Yankov made a mistake over here. Esav already was in his zenith. He wasn't anywhere near his job. So what did Yankov have to go? Zuchait, what did Yankov have to look for Taurus over here? Should have forgotten about Esav, come back to Esav's job. Forget about Bob, forget about Esav, and live in Esav's job and peace. What was the problem over here? We shouldn't have sent any messages to Esav at all. Should have forgotten about him, and if he wouldn't have started up with him, to give him up on Esav wouldn't have started up with him. And the Zohar says no, but over here Yankee did the right thing giving Zohar. So in principle they both agree. The Medrash and the Zohar both agree that sometimes you have to give Zohar. Just talking over here, was there a need to give a Zohar? Maybe he shouldn't have given any Zohar at all over here. In addition to the Zohar, you have to be misspelled. You have to have a Zohar. And then the third thing, you have to prepare for Mokal. Sometimes you have to prepare. How can you ever tell when, which is the right psychology? So the Gemara quotes the writers from the Gila Sinus, the Gemara Shishana and the Gemara in Sinus, quotes the writers from Gila Sinus. The Gila Sinus was in the day that he said to the Kalibrish, every month he can dunish because of Yom. Every month they would say to Yom Sinus. Whenever they had a story, and they would shly off to the day, they would say the story would disappear, so they made a Yom. It's celibate, and it's happened, they didn't fast. They didn't fast on those days. So the Gemara says on the 28th day of Adar, the Tanaim established the youngest of the minister of the Lord, the Tanaim, not allowed to say Hesed, not allowed to say Tanaim. What happened? The Goy made it clear against the Jews that they're not allowed to run Torah, they're not allowed to keep Shabbat, they're not allowed to keep the Mila. And then the Tanaim wanted to know how to shly up to the day. So they went through the parasha, and even Siddiq, they couldn't figure out what to do. So they went to our Goyim, who had dealings, one of our top Goyim, who had dealings with all of the big politicians from the Roman government. And he asked her, what do you think? And he asked the Matrimisa, what do you think? What should we do? So she said, make a demonstration. Make a demonstration, it's going to work. And what should they do in the demonstration? So she said, get up and sleep with them and say, we're all one tradition, we're all one nation, we're all from Avraham Avinu, from Yitzchak. You're Esav, we're Yankees, so why do you pick on us more than any other nation? And you make a demonstration, you sleep with them, and you come along, and you try to get, try to convince them that they're doing something wrong. Why do you persecute the Jews? So that will give them. So the Gemara says they listen to her advice today. How are they going to know what's going to work? They don't have a great shikosh, so they have a shikosh, they have a zayna, who dealt with all of the top politicians of Rome. The Gemara says that they made a demonstration, it didn't work. And that was the end of the day. And then they made a yontif on the 28th of Adar, the day that they would celebrate every year after that. That was the day on which the Gemara was broken. So teach me Gemara, that's the way you're supposed to do it. You have to find out from a goyim. You can't have rabbanim who sit together and figure out and say, hey, how are you going to know what to do? Unless they have some special insight in the parsha, based on the parsha of Vayishlach. Okay, so they don't figure out. But if you can't figure out from the parsha how you're supposed to do it, you have to go ask a goyim shikah to find out what's going to work. It's interesting in the Yiddish historian, they point out that these three ages, Dora, Tila, and Mokonda, are necessary for another encounter that we have. Everybody has an issue with the Yitzhara. Not only does the Jewish people have a discourse with the Goyim, called Man of the Living Gavod, every individual person as it fits into the Yetzer. So also we have to fight against the Yetzer Hara in all three ways. You can't just negate the whole Yetzer Hara. Not going to give in to any Talubi Elam Azer, period, nothing. No, you have to give down, you have to give in a little bit. The one says that there are three things that you have to be small dose of the Minyan Kalev. One of the things is the Yetzer. You have to give in a little bit to the Yetzer. You can't say I'm going to be an ascetic, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to give, I'm going to pay a foundation. Most of the time it won't work. Most people can't drop asceticism. You have to give in a little bit. You have to be careful, not too much. You have to give a little bit of Dorah. To give in a little bit to the Yetzer Hara. And the Gemara says, you have to have tefillah. The Gemara says, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everybody tefillah of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to force me to be a tzaddik. But nevertheless, if I'm interested in being a tzaddik, I won't be able to succeed on my own. The Gemara says, the Cholyoy Miyam, Yitzhu Shalom, the Mizgabarol of the Cholyoy. The Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ojo, Yes Shalom. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't help you, you won't succeed in fighting the Akkad. You have to be Mizgabarol to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why everybody sings the Nigga now, the latest top song of all the weddings. You say the same bono yet to toast. What do you mean same bono yet to toast? It's in the Zabin. Well, yes, Kaddish Baruch Hu Kima yet to toast. But I have Kira Kashi. Kaddish Baruch Hu is not going to take care of that for me. He gives everybody Kira Kashi. And if the Zabin gives you Kira Kashi, I'm asking him, I bought a time with someone else. I asked the Kaddish Baruch Hu, help me out. I want to be groom. I don't want to do our business, but help me out. So the Gemara says, you have to be Mitzvah to Kaddish Baruch Hu. You need, in addition to your desire to do the right thing, you have to have the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So you have to ask your Kaddish Baruch Hu. And then the Gemara says the third thing that you have to do when you encounter the enemy is you have to have a makam also. It doesn't come so easily that you're just going to try to be Mizah, and then you won't fall in with the Yetzer Hara. You have to realize that there's a war going on over here. If you don't realize that that's your enemy, that he's out to get you, the Yetzer Hara is out to get you, then you're going to lose the war. And the Gemara says you have to have Yitzhak Yal-Tatato. The Cholyam, the person has to be married with Yetzer, tell you about Yetzer Hara. You have to realize that there's a war going on and you have to fight. And you have to realize that every day the Yetzer Hara has new techniques and new ideas. And it's not just going to go, let's say, if the enemy comes to fight today, he's not going to come with bows and arrows like they did when they devoted to Marish. They're going to come with atomic bombs. They're not going to come with helicopters. They're going to come with jets, with atomic bombs, all kinds of different things. Every generation, there are new methods of war. So here also, the Yetzer Hara has a different approach every year. So you have to realize that you have to prepare yourself for all three. For the Dorah, for the Tzimah, for the Mokom.
Thank you.